listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 169. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who, thank God, loves purple as much as I do, John Brownstone. Y'all, get you a partner who loves the same color you do and will wear it with you whenever you request it. Just a little life tip for me to you.
Actually, I picked it out before you.
Oh, no, I had picked it out. I asked you if you wanted it, if you recall. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. Everybody's like, what the fuck are they talking about? We'll get into it. This week, we're giving you a peek into how one dominant thinks about DS and other vanilla topics, because they don't all think alike, but sometimes getting that little peek into their brains is fun.
I don't know if folks are ready to go up there.
Well, we've been going up there for a long time with me. It's really just your turn, quite frankly. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. And yes, it's like this all the time. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, that stands for podcast, y'all, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate.
I am so glad. You like me because you really carry a grudge.
I do carry a grudge, yeah. Don't ever piss me off is all I'm saying. We'll stay married. We'll talk about why in the bonus section, but I'll have a grudge forever. On Instagram, getting back on track, the handle that I fucking hate is LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can watch us live stream this recording every Thursday before it comes out in audio on Friday. All links are in the show notes. Today's topic comes straight from our kinky patrons on Patreon. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords. While we're open to new topic ideas from anywhere and everywhere, kinky patrons at the $5 level and up get to share their ideas directly with us, and we'll definitely use one if we feel qualified to do so. So sometimes we get a list and we're like, ooh, we are not smart enough for that topic. We'll come back to it. If you want perks like that, or you just want to help us do this kinky thing we do, join us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/KaylaLords or click the link in the show notes or description below. We do have a couple of announcements. I'm going to try to make these really, really quick.
Okay.
Last week, we talked about the BDSM app that's hopefully being developed by a company called Play.
Yes.
If you want to support their Indiegogo campaign, we'll have the link in the show notes. For video watchers, we'll try and put the link actually in the description. Their whole premise is they are going to try and make a BDSM dating app made by kinksters for kinksters, so you feel safe, so you actually connect with somebody who like kind of gets BDSM on some level. And the reason we're talking about it is because John Brownstone is supporting it by being a perk at the $40 level. You get one of his wooden paddles. But even if you don't have $40 but you want to support it, there's other levels. Please feel free. We'll put the link out later. Check it out if you're interested. That's the first one. And then the second one, YouTube watchers can see this right now. If you are listening on audio, make sure you follow us on some social media channel because that's where you'll get to see it. We have new t-shirts.
Yes.
I don't know if our lighting is good, but they are purple, which is why I made, you know, I make my purple comments.
Yeah,
so,
mine looks blue in the light.
Yeah.
But it is purple.
It is definitely purple. If you're unsure, John Brownstone says, keep calm and say yes, daddy, which I find is the appropriate response to most
people. While you were talking, I stood up.
I know,
up
but
so
there are audio listeners,
right?
Eventually. Not during the live stream, but people will listen and not see. And I know that on YouTube, I get distracted by something else, and I will look to the side, and it's gone past me. And then my shirt says, I've got daddy issues. And I do, both technically, in therapy, and also in my marriage. So I'm complicated. But the reason we're talking about the shirts, you know, we don't always talk about our shirts. We're talking about these. It's because they were designed by a fellow kinkster. And we're wearing them for the first time. We have another set that we'll probably wear next week. And I want to support fellow kinksters when and where we can. This person's name, God, I hope I don't screw it up, is... I believe you say it as Ignixia, I-G-N-I-X-I-A. We will link in show notes and descriptions and everywhere else later. But they are kinky. They designed all these shirts and then they sell them through Teespring. And these are the least expensive versions of this particular style. You can get the high quality really soft cotton. I just got plain old t-shirts. And they fit and I like them. And also it's purple and I get to proclaim my daddy issues for everybody.
for the world to know. Right.
So I will, on social media, I'll put links and tag Ignixia, and I will put it in the podcast show notes, and I will put it in the description below for the video if you want some shirts that are kinky-ish in nature and sort of proclaim yourself. We don't wear these out in public, by the way. We wear these for videos, and I think most likely when we go and do kink events where we aren't getting naked for them, or I'm not getting naked for them, we will probably wear these kinds of shirts.
Yep.
But Ignixia is a kinkster who is trying to, like, build her own sort of kinky empire, and we want to help her do that. She's a kink educator. Mm-hmm. She's very involved in her community. She lives in Florida. I won't say where because it's not my... I don't know how out she is about that. But, so, like, let's support each other is sort of my game here. And also, I like this shirt. And, oh, next week's shirt, I think, even better. And these are good. Next week's shirt's even better. So that is a really long announcement. If you're new here, yeah, it's like this all the time. So we're going to get into the topic now, even though I'm very happy with my shirt. Okay. Well, also I get to stick my boobs out. You don't know that on the podcast audio, but the video watchers know, like, my chest keeps going out, shoulders keep going back. Look at my daddy issues. Ooh, I'm going to call my boobs my daddy issues now. Wait. I don't know. Maybe not. We'll rethink that. Okay, topic.
Oh, boy, this got derailed quick.
For the record, I'm on my third gigantic cup of coffee, iced coffee for the day. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so our topic today, peek inside one person's mind who happens to be dominant, is a conglomeration of two, kind of three people on Patreon asking. So Eva Gray, or is it Ava Gray? You need to correct me. I'll know. God, I suck at names. I'm so sorry. Timey Ravenswood, who knew me so well that when Timey reached out, gave me a pronunciation key of her name in the email. Thank you. I appreciate that. I clearly need it.
Love it.
And
love it.
Even though Raxleanne did not ask, like, specifically about the mindset of dominance, she did ask for more topics about dominance, so I'm giving you credit there, too. And you wonder how I know to actually say Raxleanne? I had to type it that way, because I still read it as Raxleanne, and I don't know what's wrong with me. I have issues. So we're a fun group on Patreon. Patreon.com/KayTheLords. Okay, so I've got three questions listed out based on what we were given as ideas, and we're gonna do this as a Q&A.
All right.
Are you ready?
I saw that.
Podcast listeners, I said no.
Shook your head no.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is a really broad topic, and if you give me the deer in the headlights look, we'll narrow it down. Okay.
Okay.
First question. So, as a dominant in dominant mindset. Okay.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about in a typical day?
Sex.
Stop. I don't think that's automatically true. Or let me clarify. Is that the only thing you're thinking about? Is that the only thing you're thinking about?
No.
Okay. Are you thinking about sex?
Sometimes, yeah.
Are you thinking about sex with me or sex in general? Or sex with yourself?
In general.
Like, yeah. What? Okay. So now this is a different look into a person's mind. What about sex are you thinking about? I'm fascinated. Because that's, like, if I happen to be thinking about sex, it's more like, ooh, I read a thing that turned me on. Gosh, an orgasm would be nice. Or, ooh, I've got a vibrator. That, and I'm thinking in those kinds of terms. So when you think about sex, how are you thinking about it?
When I think about it in that aspect, a lot of times it's like, what can we do next? What can we do
next, as in the next, like today, or
no, just in the general future.
Oh, so you're forward thinking on your sexy stuff,
right?
Is it sex or is it kink, or is kink the same as sex for you?
No, two very different things.
So, are you thinking about kink?
Oh yeah. Oh,
okay. Was that going to be number eight? A, sex. B, kink. This is the order. So I think I'm interpreting here, and I know my patrons, they're going to tell me if I got it wrong. That's why I like you.
No, okay.
is this, like, are there thoughts and things going through your mind that you would sort of classify as your dominant self? Things you're thinking about in terms of being a dominant or dominant acts or our relationship that would fall under the umbrella of these are my dominant thoughts.
There are times, now I will be honest, at least for myself, I am not thinking about sex and DS 24/7.
Yeah, you'd be much more distracted than you already are.
Yes, I wouldn't get anything done. Okay. Yeah.
You're not a teenage person filled with hormones. We live with one of those. We know what they're thinking about.
That's like, and I would not want to do that again.
No, you can pay me to go back to that.
Quite happy with my, how old am I now?
50 something?
Yeah.
I always have to do the math. I'm 39, add 18.
They say the first thing to go is the memory.
57, right. but it is, now, is sex and or kink something that comes into your mind nearly every day, even just a blip, even just a moment?
At some point, for a few things, yes.
That's fascinating. I can go days without thinking about sex, and I write about it for a living.
I am so sorry.
I know. It probably explains a lot, quite frankly. Okay, so on the dominant side, what kinds of things are you thinking about?
There are times I think about, well, what can I do to strengthen our DS relationship? What can I do differently in that aspect? Then there are times I think, am I being dominant enough in certain situations? Yeah, I saw, that's quite the look.
No, that makes me sad for you.
Am I being dominant enough? Am I being too dominant?
Oh, okay.
Okay. When I first got into DS, when I first discovered it, one of the things that kind of frightened me about this was there's a saying, give me a second to think about it. It is absolute power
corrupts
absolutely.
Yes, all right.
And one of my fears with this was that getting drunk on the power you have as a dominant and going too far.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that is always kind of tickling in the back of my head.
And so then that will direct your actions or the things most of the time.
Some of the time,
I mean, we're human. So even though that is something important to you, sometimes our mouth overruns the rest of us. And
yeah.
I mean, that's not just a baby girl thing. That's a human thing. It's not just me. It's him too. You've said things you maybe didn't really mean to say.
Sure. It happens.
So while we're kind of on this, what are you thinking about in a typical day?
Mm-hmm.
Do things happen? I know this is a general thing because we're talking about any particular day, where you recognize that there was a time in your life where you would have seen this in a very vanilla way, but now whatever's happening, an interaction you and I are having, or something we're talking about in the future, or just an idea that comes to you, and you see it through a very dominant lens, like you see it as, oh, this is part of the power exchange. Do you recognize that before and after kind of moment?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Gotcha.
Because I may be caught up in things like right now with the moving. I'm focused on packing.
Right. Y'all should see this room we're in right now. I got all the boxes.
Between this, the bedroom, and the garage,
yeah,
it's a mess. But, I am so focused on that. Sometimes when I get in that headspace, because I'm so focused, the DS kind of gets lost in the peripheral.
Is it because, I can understand not consciously thinking about your DS, but for you, is it still always there, even if you're not consciously thinking about it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I've, shocking, but I have this need, I guess is the best way to put it, that I have to be in control.
And that's been a part of who you are
most of my life.
Right.
And it has always manifested itself in small ways, per se. Take, for instance, driving.
That's a DS thing for us, actually.
I very, very seldom get in a car with somebody else.
Yeah, it's actually...
when I'm not driving.
It's actually rare that you let me drive.
It's very rare that I even let you behind the wheel when I'm
okay
in the car with you.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You know, little things like that that, you know,
just need... And you know what's funny? Because I know more of your history than we'll get into mm-hmm. in this episode. You have very clear reasons that have nothing to do with kink or DS for that. You've had things that happen in your life where
sure.
you're like, oh, I'm going to be in control of this shit.
Right. Yeah.
And that's interesting to me and fascinating to me because I know people who would in no way ever call themselves dominant. Maybe they're submissive. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just not even kinky. Who would have a very similar reaction to that where something bad has happened. And so now you're like, no, I have to be in control of this in order to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And yet then there are, I can be like this in some things and in some ways not. If I had an experience like that, I would probably have been that way too mm-hmm. until I had a dominant partner who I trusted because in order for you to be my dominant, I have to totally trust you. So then I could let go of that need of control. Like it's strange how we're all unique. Like that makes sense to me from a non-kink perspective and a kink perspective.
Yeah.
And I can also kind of see how it would be different for other people.
But it's also why the way I am about drinking.
Yeah, right? You don't really. I mean, every once in a while. But
I enjoy a social drink now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie, I had a misspent youth where...
Oh gosh, some of the stories. I'm like, I might be too innocent to listen to some of this.
Yeah.
Clearly, I didn't have enough fun.
No, you.
When I was in my 20s.
You, compared to me, you had a very sheltered youth.
Compared to you, I had a dry youth. I was not a dry youth.
But I don't like getting drunk because I don't like feeling out of control.
Well, you know, it's funny. And I don't like getting drunk for the same reason
mm-hmm.
because I don't like feeling out of control. And I have let myself get out of control and it just did not end well. And again, part of that goes back to mindset. So for me, I don't let myself get out of control in that regard because I had an experience that went poorly. And mm-hmm. even though I know I could get drunk with you and you would totally take care of me and I'd be fine, that is not a level of control I'm necessarily ready to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
You have control over yourself for, again, past experiences, but also because as a dominant who's living your best dominant life, I hope, you want to have control. Like it's fascinating how you could come to the same conclusions for completely different reasons. And then you can come to different conclusions for the same reason. Oh, now I've confused myself. So
you spun yourself around now.
I usually do. So as you're going through your day,
uh-huh.
and especially, and we are in a unique situation because we're pretty much together almost every moment of the day. Almost.
Yeah.
So we're constantly interacting. But are there times where you see something either for the first time or maybe it's just not something you're constantly thinking about and you go, that's my control, that's my power, I'm going to tell her to do this, or, oh, look at her being submissive. Like, are there moments you're sort of moving through the day and just sort of seeing the power exchange?
Oh, absolutely.
Or feeling it?
Absolutely. I have to admit, I had such a good laugh inside last night. So let me explain what happened. Since we've been back from our trip, Kayla has not had any projects that she's been working on.
Work projects, freelance projects.
Yeah. So what had been really nice is by dinner time, she's done working.
Yeah, which never happens.
which hasn't happened for a while. So it was kind of nice. We got to... sit back and enjoy some Netflix for a while, or mm-hmm. she would sit on the sofa. She was back to her cross stitch and
or reading a book.
And we would just kind of sit together doing our thing. Last night she had to work.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. And
still tired.
She, in all honesty, I dozed off on the recliner, didn't I, sitting next to you?
I
think so, because I lost track of what time it was. Next thing I know, I'm looking at the clock and it's almost 11.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
And she has a routine that she does at night for me. She pulls down the bed.
It's my tasks.
That's your task.
It's my rules.
You put certain things on the nightstand for me. You set up the coffee pot.
And I have a whole, like, anybody has a routine, you know, you kind of go through it kind of in the same steps usually or whatever. Yeah, like, there's a whole way. It's how I go to bed at night.
Right. And when she works like that, she can't just shut down the laptop and be done.
No.
She needs some time to unwind. So while she was unwinding, I set up the coffee pot, I made the bed, I got everything set up. So that way when she was ready, we just climbed into bed together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know that kind of threw you off a little bit.
I didn't really like that.
Yeah. I know you didn't. But I looked at it as helping you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Making a decision to help you because it was already way past our bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't stay up that late. These
you
days.
Know, so while yes, I do look at things and say on the other side of the spectrum, like, you know, right here.
Your coffee.
You made me my coffee.
Yep.
All right. And that's something you do just about every day, whether it's a hot cup of coffee before I go out to the shop or iced coffee.
The creativeness of a dominant. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday because I was going to be a little late coming home from dropping the kids off at school in the morning. I was going to the grocery store or something. And this, you could ask for this anytime you want. And it's the only time you've ever done it. But it was, Big D was showing is what was happening there. That sounds dirty. Anyway, put your Big D away. anyway.
It almost made me spit my coffee
I know,
out.
That would have been sad. So the past couple days, tired in the morning. I don't normally have a cup of coffee first thing in the morning. I actually hold out for a while. There's reasons I've read, blah, blah, blah. But I really was like, before I get in the car with these children, I need a cup of fucking coffee. And so we're talking about how I'm going to be a little bit late coming home because I'm going to stop at the grocery store, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, wait, you won't be here to make my morning iced coffee. And then he goes, but wait, make it now. And I'm like, oh, wow, he's still working on the hot coffee over there. He's going to have an iced coffee.
I know.
And I wasn't quite awake yet.
I had a plan.
And he went, no, make it. Put it in the fridge for me because it's a Yeti cup, y'all. So as long as he closes that lid up, it'll stay cold forever. The ice isn't melting. Right. And he goes, put it in the fridge for me and then I'll get it when I'm ready, when it's time, even though you're not here. And that sounds like such a small, simple thing. But I assure you, that is the very first time you've ever asked that. Ever. Like normally it's, when you get home, you're going to make your coffee, I'll make my coffee.
Right.
And it's just a routine. But this moment was very clear when the guy in charge went, wait, we can do this differently.
We're doing it this way
today.
We're
thinking outside the box today.
Yes, we are.
And I have found that now part of this is, I think, really, truly based on personality. You are like me, and not everybody's like this. We really like our routines. We crave our routines. We get very cranky when our routine is disrupted. So what we've decided to do is uproot our entire life and move because that's great for routines.
really.
But I am often surprised, usually pleasantly so, when you think creatively and you come out of the routine, you find a way like this to maintain the routine. He was having that iced coffee at 8 a.m.
one way or another, and I wasn't making it.
And he wasn't making it, right? But you find a way to like upend it a little bit, and because you are in charge, and that's our agreement. You can make that request, and unless it is like just physically impossible for me to do it, I might think that's weird, but I'm also gonna go, okay, like I'm not gonna argue it, I'm just gonna do it.
And yet it was innocuous enough that it wasn't totally out of the ballpark that would have thrown you off either for what you were doing.
Part of that is because I am also in a habit of when I make my iced coffee, my cup is sitting right there, and so is your cup. So it was strange, and yet it was so normal because it kept everything going the way it was supposed to be going. But so I've often thought, and most of my experience, of course, is with you, but observation with other dominants, that dominants can be very creative thinkers. And it's funny because, you know, part of that is, and we're going to get into it in the next question, because the next question is about what you're thinking about during the kinky fuckery. But, you know, it's how do I maintain this thing I want, even if other factors are different?
Mm-hmm.
And this is about me. This isn't a submissive thing. This is a Kayla Lords thing. I get so set, and this is how I do it in this way, in this routine, and it's very much a tunnel vision kind of thing in my routine, that I like to think I'm kind of a creative thinker, and that stuff never occurs to me. But the person in charge who's like, I want to have my thing the way I want it, when I want it, how do I make that happen even when there's a change? The people I have met, including obviously you, tend to be really creative, out-of-the-box thinkers to make sure you're getting exactly what the fuck you want. Would you ever classify yourself that way, or how do you think of that?
I think so. Yeah, I would. And I think a lot of that comes from, one, many years ago when I was self-employed. All right. You have to have a certain amount of being able to step outside the box. And that was further ingrained in me when I was fully immersed in IT for all those years, because nothing is ever cut and dry.
Right. You got to find a way to make
it work. You have to find a way to make it work. And you may have two machines, two almost similar problems, two totally different fixes. So, you know, nothing is ever really cut and dry.
So you're, like all of us, I don't think we think about this way, but you're sort of clearly illustrating it. You're taking all of the things that happen in your life, all of the experiences you've had, and they're all sort of filtering through the prism of, I'm in charge, I'm daddy, I'm going to get what I want because I get to get what I want most of the time. And so, and I think most of us do this, and I think most of us do it without even realizing it. And I do think that sometimes, if your brain's not in tune with that, you'll forget to do that. Where you're like, wait, that worked for this old thing that has nothing to do with kink, but I can apply that and that lesson I learned and that experience I had to this moment right here.
Sure.
Right. We are all a product of every experience we've ever had.
The sum of our experiences, yeah.
So there's no, I personally will never think there's anything wrong with taking all my vanilla experiences and going, how do I make this kinky as shit? And how do I use them? And you are
pervertible.
Pervertible. Right? It's a totally different kind of pervertible. But in this whole part of the conversation, that is absolutely what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're just putting a kinky lens on what you already know to be true so that you maintain your power and control. Basically. You think?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to move on to the next question then.
Okay.
So what's going on in your head? What are you thinking about as a dominant when there's the kinky fuckery? Ooh. In whatever way we want to translate that, because sometimes the kinky fuckery is he's just pinching my nipple in the middle of the living room telling me I got to go back to work. And sometimes it's like he's beating my ass on a St. Andrew's cross. Like kinky fuckery, it's a spectrum.
Well,
and the podcast listeners cannot see the evil grin, but there's an evil grin.
A very evil grin. Again, depending on the situation is depending on what's going on. If I'm chasing you around trying to pinch your butt, pinch your nipple, to me that's about getting a reaction.
Okay.
Getting an in-the-moment, on-the-fly reaction.
Do you want a specific reaction or any reaction?
Sometimes a specific reaction.
Do you?
No, I'm not going to tell you what it is.
No.
I'm not going to give it away.
You are way smarter than that. No, my question is, do you typically get the reaction you want, or are you surprised by the reaction?
Typically, I do. Mm. It's very seldom when I don't from you.
Okay. And so sometimes it's chasing me around to get a reaction.
Now, when we're having kinky fuckery, and when I say kinky fuckery, to me that more encompasses a spanking or having you on the cross or a spanking bench
or tied up or something.
Or tied up, okay. Yeah. At those times, first and foremost, what's going through my mind is safety, keeping you safe, because first and foremost, I don't want to break my toy.
And also, he loves me.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it. There, that's a small part of it too.
Oh my gosh, okay. This but no, is fine.
Got you again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, really, safety, because let's, you know, when we're playing with the toys that we play with, there is the possibility of things going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, safety is always very, very high on the scales. The other thing is thinking about how I can push your boundaries, in what way I can push those lines a little bit.
Is that something that you have been thinking about prior to that moment? Like, let's use the St. Andrew's cross as an example. Okay. I'll be getting on the cross hopefully in a couple of weeks.
Yes. Yep.
Anyway, that was my small little happy dance.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you know that's coming up.
Right.
We've planned for it. We know it's happening. We're going to the club, whatever. Once it's planned and you know it's coming up, are you already starting to think about the boundaries or the this or the that? Or is it more of an in-the-moment thing once you're there?
It's both. It is very much both. Like, what was it? Day before yesterday when we looked to see when the day party was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's already a little bit of spinning going on.
And see, this is what I like. I'll give you my personal submissive perspective. Oh, I know we're going. I'm excited about it. I don't have to think about nothing. I just have to show up and look cute. And I don't have time to think about it. And so we're both overthinkers. We both think a lot in general.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be very introspective people. But like, I don't, that's like the luxury I have. I know that's not true for every submissive, but I'm not thinking about it. It's kind of cool. I assumed you were thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
But that was an assumption. That wasn't something I knew for a fact.
I mean, that's like I am totally baffled since it cleaned out the nightstand. Where the hell are my Wartenberg wheels gotten to?
It's probably in a bag or a box somewhere.
Are you sure you didn't do something with it? Because I know you love that thing so much.
You know, I wish I was the type of person who could go, oh, look, here's this thing I hate with fiery passion. Let me go hide it. We've already established in a totally unrelated conversation before we start recording that I'm a shitty liar. I don't like to lie. It physically pains me. I avoid it. I will. A lie of omission is different, but
yeah,
it's not really different, but I decided it was different.
Justification in your mind.
No, yeah. I did not hide your Wartenberg wheel, but I'm not sorry to see it gone. Sam.
So, you know, yeah, I think about that, and I'm thinking about, gee, I need to, it, you know, we missed last month's play party. I need to take the bag out at some point, and the toy bag I'm talking about, the bag I keep, I have a duffel bag.
Just sits under the bed, ready to go.
Sits under the bed, ready to go.
Kinksters ready to kink at a moment's notice. We're like emergency services. You call us, we grab the bag. No, we're not. I would not disrespect emergency services.
It depends what's going on.
Like
I've got one duffel bag under the bed filled with impact toys, and a second duffel bag under the bed filled with rope and tying accessories.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose? While we're in your head, did you separate them out on purpose?
Yes,
or did
I
it
did.
Just happen that way?
I did that on purpose.
I'll make the assumption it's because that's how you organize things in your mind.
Yeah.
That works.
Mm-hmm.
Or did you want to have, must have rope will go? Like, rope man to the rescue. Give him a cape.
I'm ready to tie one on.
Oh, God. Not a rope pun. Anyway, okay, let's get back into it.
Anyway.
So.
I did that on purpose, yes, because here again, and it's just me. To me, I differentiate rope from impact play.
Well, yeah, and they can be combined.
And they do, yeah.
That's usually part of like a grander plan, though.
True.
Like you're going, okay, I want to do this and this. Here's how I make that happen, basically.
I'm going to tie you ass up in the air and spank the shit out of you.
Okay. So speaking of, you know, your first thought when we're like in the club playing is safety. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's evolved over time? So when you were first really kind of immersed into the kinky fuckery side and you started doing kink things, do you remember what your first thought was or what you were thinking about predominantly and then how your thoughts went?
The thoughts of safety, in all honesty, have evolved.
Mm.
In the beginning, I would say I had almost what one would consider dom frenzy.
Okay.
It's like, bring it on. I'm ready to spank it up. Let me have
whatever
it
is. Put it in front of me. Yeah. I will fuck it up. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. And there was very little, thought of that
consequences and what might happen.
Exactly. Exactly. Now I am much more cognizant.
I knew what you meant.
Thank you. But that's something that's definitely on my mind. And it kind of came about listening to somebody at the dungeon who gave a fascinating talk on when things go wrong.
Oh, yes. That was he's an EMT?
Yes.
Yes. And he was explaining it from
he's a kinky EMT.
Yeah. That was one I kind of wish I could have gone to as well, because I'm pretty sure that was invaluable information.
It was fascinating. It was many years ago. I wish he still did those talks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his vanilla life has sort of taken over.
Everything, yeah. And, kind of miss seeing him around the munches and clubs.
Yeah.
But, safety is definitely up there. And like I say, again, there's a couple things. It's a matter of how far can I push your boundaries,
mm-hmm,
when we're in the middle of a scene?
And
there's the thought of also, one of the things that I look at when we're doing a scene, I want to bring you to an edge,
mm-hmm,
and then drop you back.
Is that why, and this is my experience, I don't know if anybody else has experience, okay, and we do impact play primarily.
Yeah.
Like, you'll start out at a level. Some days it's a low level, sometimes it's higher than I expected. And you literally build it up to a certain point, and then you go...
Drop it.
You don't go all the way back down to where you started from, but you come back a little bit, and then you build it up higher, the next peak is higher, and then you come down. And then the end is always like a... It's like an exclamation point. Like, people would say, he ended with a period or a comma. It is an exclamation point. It is like the hardest he could possibly think he can get away with hitting.
Literally end with a bang.
Yes. Yes. Ow. And also, yay. I was going to ask you a question, and I've lost it.
Same time, there's the thought of, I'm not going to say right from the outset, but somewhere in there, I'm also thinking of when the playtime comes to an end, to leave you satisfied, but also wanting more.
Yeah, but I'm a greedy baby girl who always wants more.
Yeah,
like, that's not even a hard job. Like, look at me cross-eyed. Give me more, Daddy. Give me more. Show me the paddle. Give me more, Daddy. Please.
Yeah.
I know who and what I am. It's fine. Right. Well, and you actually do a very good job of that, since that is your intention. Thank you for giving me these sneak peeks myself. Because the last time we played at the morning play party, what I really wanted, some of the impact was very much like a deep tissue massage to me. It was very thuddy, very relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got really, really annoyed when you would turn to stinging pain. I was like, I'm getting a massage here. This is my time to relax and unwind. What the hell is happening? This is not how, this is actually not how we play. That was just where my mind was. And so... Yes, I do. I agree. You do leave me wanting more, but I always want more. I think I remembered the question. Okay. So when we're getting ready for the scene, we're doing it, you got safety on your mind, you got my boundaries on your mind, or pushing boundaries.
Right.
I think I know the answer to this, but I want to ask it for everybody else.
Okay.
Are you thinking about not just what I've been capable of handling in the past, but where I personally, as a human and your submissive, am right then, like things I've told you or observations you've made about how I'm behaving, or like, how are you determining where the boundary is to push?
I knew
I'd get to the question eventually.
Very good question. That depends on a number of things.
Okay.
One, understanding your pain level.
Mm-hmm. And that does fluctuate.
And that fluctuates. Then taking into account where you're at emotionally at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because you may be in a spot where your mind is not totally there. So you will react differently to pain. You may be able to take less pain at that point. Where you are at physically.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you have a headache, whether, you know, your knee is acting up.
Right.
Different things like that. All those things I have to consider.
Do you find it that it's sort of happening at this point almost rapidly? Like you are assessing these things because we now have history with one another and we know each
other? Yes, it's much easier to do that now than it was at first.
Do you still find, though, that sometimes once you're in the middle of the scene and I'm not reacting maybe the way you kind of thought I would, that you're like, oh, I misread that. Let me adjust?
Absolutely, because I am not infallible.
Of course not.
So
thank you for saying it for the others out there. Let's say it louder for those in the back. Dominants are not infallible.
I am human. Watch me screw up.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Just because I'm a big D does not make me impervious to that.
Right. It's how you react to it when you have an oopsie
moment. It's not a matter of if you're going to have an oopsie, it's a matter of when you're going to have an oopsie.
Right, and then what you do about
it. Because
it
will happen and how you handle it.
Yeah.
You know, do I understand that better because we have a history playing together? Absolutely. If I were to meet another partner tomorrow, I'd be starting at square one with them.
Do you remember your thought process when you, like the last time you were at square one, whether that was with me or anybody else, do you remember the differences between how you thought then and how you think now?
No. No.
I have wiped it off of his mind. All he could think about is all of this. Ooh, I'm sorry.
Well, it's in some aspects it's different because the person I was with prior to you, Maena, she loved crops and canes, and her level of pain was way above yours.
Still having the same considerations though, like. What I mean is, let's just use me as the example.
Okay.
The first time we started playing, when we had not established the history or the comfort level or being able to read each other or even our communication level, because that has evolved over time.
Sure.
First time we played versus the last time we played.
Right.
Those things that you're considering and those the way that you're thinking about what you need to be doing and what you can decide to do. Do you remember how you thought of it then in the beginning versus now? The way it's evolved, the way your thoughts have evolved around playing from the time somebody's a new person to the time it's established?
From when we first started playing, I was much more cautious. If that's what you're trying to.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Much more exploratory.
Sure. Yeah, we did a lot of stuff we don't even do anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, now, and I don't mean to say this in a way to make it sound, I guess I want to say to a certain extent there is a comfort level.
Oh, yeah, it would make sense.
All right.
It would be weird if there wasn't.
Yeah, there's definitely a comfort level, but the comfort level also comes with an awareness.
Okay.
All right. The awareness of this time is different than the last time, and this time will be different than the next time.
Right.
Kind of
sure.
thing. So I have to be, while there is a level playing field, Okay, that bell curve can go either way.
Gotcha.
It can go higher or it can fall lower. So the comfort level that you and I play with now
mm-hmm.
has risen from
sure.
where it was in the beginning.
Sure.
But there, I still have to be aware that depending on circumstances, it can go either way.
Right. It can be really good or not really good. Gotcha. I'm going to ask the third question because it ties into this part of the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Directly into this part of the topic.
Okay.
So when you're deciding how you want a scene to go.
Right.
Okay. And I'm going to add something to this after I ask this question.
Okay.
When you decide how you want a scene to go, what you're doing mm-hmm. with me or any submissive, quite frankly, do the ideas come out of thin air or do you research? Where do they come from? Let me stop before you answer that and insert, nothing gets to happen between two parties until you've had the conversations about what's allowed and what's not
right.
and where your boundaries are.
There's,
like that. And I am assuming based on who asked this question and asking us that would be understood that you've already done that.
There has to be negotiation and consent first.
Right. And now, okay, we've done all that. Submissive me has gone, okay, let's do a thing. You decide. Now you're deciding based on what you know already,
mm-hmm.
based on the limits and the boundaries and all that.
Right.
Where do those ideas come from for you?
There are times that some of the ideas come on the fly.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like, let's do that. Is it based on what I'm doing in my response to you or just an idea comes to you and you go, that'd be cool?
It can be both.
Okay.
It can be either or. There are times it's like, ooh, I wonder what would happen if I did this, if I did this with this particular thing instead of that.
Right. And for us, that typically is an impact play scenario because that's how we're playing.
Other times, now, I'm probably going to get a few people going to get a chuckle out of this. I enjoy to read erotica.
Oh,
BDSM erotica. And while, yes, a lot of BDSM erotica is just that, it is erotica and fictional, in everything there is a grain of truth.
Hopefully.
But if you look at it, certain things with a grain of, well, okay, this is not necessarily a safe way of doing this, but if you...
Let me tweak it.
If you tweak it this way and change this a little bit and change that, it could work.
And that's based on your knowledge, though. So you can read erotica and read something that the rest of us, especially erotic writers, would be like, mm-hmm. What are you doing? That's not even, But you have enough experience to read that and go, and you could not do it that way. However, I could do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're saying is sometimes your ideas come from the smut you're reading.
Yeah.
That is so on brand. I'm okay with that. No problem with that, quite frankly. Because here's the lovely cycle of smut. We now have a cycle of smut. You read the smut.
Yeah.
The smut gives you ideas for kinky fuckery. You do the kinky fuckery with me. I write smut based on the kinky fuckery with you. I'm here for
first
this.
First there was the cycle of life.
Right.
Now there's the cycle of smut.
Cycle of smut is way better than the cycle of life.
Yes, yes.
Personal opinion.
And I know you are not so much a voyeur.
No, I'm an exhibitionist.
Yes.
Clearly I keep putting myself on camera around mm-hmm. here.
Now, I used to love going to the club.
Just to watch?
Just to watch.
You are a voyeur, which
another
way, we're technically kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to gag at that. That was too cute. Sorry, y'all.
Yeah, thank you. Even, I need to wash that down with some coffee.
So you're a voyeur. You go to the club.
And I love watching other people play.
And you pick up ideas there.
Pick up ideas there, too. Even techniques, that, especially with things like floggers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watching other people flog is, to me, that's almost an art form.
Oh, sure, when it's done, like, just really methodically and well, and
So, there's all those little things that...
Have you ever gone out and researched a thing? You have the idea, I want to do that with me or whoever, but, I don't know.
I've never researched anything in my life.
Stop! We all... I, y'all, would not necessarily know this. Man is a master researcher, okay? I have to tease him about how long he'll research something before he'll act on it. I read a fascinating book that explains you, by the way. But I've never come across you researching kinky fuckery, and I can see your computer screen. So that just means you didn't watch it on a YouTube video. That's all that means.
You're not always at your desk.
I know. So yeah. That's my question. It's a valid question. Have you seen a thing, read a thing, heard of a thing, said, oh, I think I would like to try that with Kayla or whoever, and then actively researched it before you've done the thing?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Does that send you down a rabbit hole of even more ideas, or can you get in, get the research, get out?
Oh, no, that sends me down a rabbit hole because...
I knew that answer.
Yeah, no, because unfortunately, I don't know. I will start looking at one thing, and then before you know it, I'm off on a tangent, then another tangent, and yeah, I go down the rabbit hole. But you know that about me because you see me with my woodworking videos.
And here's the thing. This is a total side note, but I think this is a fascinating book that, or I think you can get an audio book or whatever if people are interested. There's a book by an author named Gretchen Rubin called The Four Tendencies. And it's a way of looking at personalities that's added to all the other ways of looking at personalities. But the way she breaks it down is different ways. And the one that John Brownstone is called the questioner. And that part of that, one of the traits of that is researching things to the nth degree, sometimes to the point that you get analysis paralysis. Like you can't stop researching. Yeah. You got to keep going. You can't make a decision. His beautiful YouTube, y'all can hopefully see it, wedding band that he made himself, beautiful wood, right? Gorgeous. How many months did you watch YouTube videos on that before you did it?
On and off, probably about 6 months.
9 months. Let me just... 9 months. So it is funny to me to talk about you researching things, because not everybody is like that. Not everybody will go do the research. No. We recommend, even if it is not your personality type, to do research, and I get that. And some people are like, oh, please, I don't want to do that. It is always good to look into something before you do it. Some people, their research is hands-on, and it's practice.
Yeah.
And some people will do a deep dive into podcasts and videos and whatever else before they kind of pull the trigger, so to speak.
Let's face it. You know, in anything we do, you want to be safe about it because you want it to be fun and you want to enjoy it. You know, just like rope work. I'm going to use that because that is such a big, big thing right now. And when you're tying somebody, you have to be aware. You cannot just use any knot to tie onto somebody. You want it to be tight, but you have to know that it can't be too tight. Mm-hmm. All right. There are certain points in the body you cannot tie because they're pressure points. It could cause nerve damage. So, yes, you want to research these things, whether it's reading a book, whether it's attending a local workshop, or talking to somebody that you know that does this kind of thing. So, you know, yeah, with this stuff, you want to research it.
Right.
And you just don't want to grab a hank of rope and start tying somebody.
And some people just really love researching is all I'm saying. But I think something else that you said, because we do get the question, which is why this question was definitely worth including in this topic of where do you get your ideas from? I've gotten those questions from dominants who are like, how the hell do I know what to do? And I've gotten it from submissives who are like, how do dominants figure out what to do? And of course, I think you would agree, a lot of it is based on the conversations you've had with each other, because you can have an idea of something, but if it's outside my limits, then it's off the table. It's not an option. Mm-hmm. Would you say, though, that at least for you, that part of it is the information you take in? So going to the club and watching, reading erotica, even watching porn, again, through the prism of that's probably not accurate. How do we make that safe?
Right.
And all of these outside influences versus just your imagination, just what sounds good to you in the moment. For you, because this would be a very personal thing, is there one that weighs more heavily, like imagination more than research or outside sources versus you get, you know, which one has more influence, I guess is what I'm asking.
Wow. Had not really given that much thought. I would say probably imagination.
Has that changed over time?
Has a big... yes. Yeah, in the beginning, I think it was more of a observation and what are they doing and can I do that?
Right, and does that look appealing and do yes. I want to try that?
Yeah. And in the end, what it comes down to is over time, even the stuff I have picked up like that, I've kind of put my own little twist to it.
Which I think is what should happen yeah. on some level. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going, ooh, I like exactly mm-hmm. what they're doing. Let me try to do that exact thing.
Yeah.
But also the reality is that you can, even those two people can never completely redo all of the circumstances that made that particular moment what it was. So there mm-hmm. will always be variables. So there's nothing wrong with wanting to replicate something you've seen, but there's definitely nothing wrong with then making it your own so right. it fits. I think where people might get into it, sort of caught up in a trap is, I have to do it exactly like I saw it in that video, in that club, in that scene, in that whatever. And then they get home or they get to their partner and they go, oh, I can't do it exactly that mm-hmm. way. Partly because your partner is a different person and will want different things and all kinds right. of stuff. Let's go back to the first question. I said,
okay.
What's a dominant person thinking of? And you were like, sex. just to recap this whole episode. There you go. That's all you need to know about this one.
That's all you need.
When you're thinking about those things, mm-hmm. Do you ever find yourself in vanilla moments where you're just going about your day and your mind wanders to, ooh, we could do that, or ooh, I should try that, or ooh, I want to, and it's the kinky fuckery, it's the scene, it's the sexy stuff, it's the whatever that might come later?
Sometimes, yes. There are times I will see something and that'll trigger a thought and,
I know. Well, you're also like the master of puns, so your mind kind of makes those kinds of connections anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I know many times I've walked out in the garage or something, you've been working on something, and you're holding something that has nothing to do with kink, and you're like, wouldn't this be fun? And I'm like, maybe not. Put that down.
Yeah. you're afraid to walk in the shop anymore.
Sometimes. Well, it used to be fun because when you were making brand new paddles and new types, you were like, oh, here's my prototype, bend over in the garage, baby girl.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm glad none of the neighbors can see. So is there anything else you would like to share about what's going on in your head that we haven't covered?
I think one of the other things I'd like to add, going back to the last question, as far as resources, sometimes it's a matter of talking with somebody at a munch.
Oh, yeah. The local in-person community can spark some ideas.
You get in a conversation in a casual environment like a munch, and it's great. You get a couple doms together, and man, you're just bouncing ideas off of one another.
Oh, my gosh. And they can be completely different kinds of dominance. I have seen you get into conversations as a daddy dom with femdoms who are like the ultra strict, ultra mistress
yes.
type. Like, they intimidate the fuck out of me. And I have to say, there are some femdoms who just don't. They're just sweet and lovely, and I just want to, like, squidge up on them, and it's great. And then there are some femdoms who are lovely people, but the air they carry themselves with, I'm intimidated, and I don't get intimidated by male doms, okay?
So,
it's fascinating to see what look like two completely disparate kind of
mm-hmm.
personalities coming together. And I think what in those conversations I've seen you in, it's because you're both sadists. And so there's this evil glee happening as they're comparing notes and going, oh, you did that thing. Oh, I'm going to try this thing. And it's fascinating to watch. It is fascinating to watch. What I have found, and this is not true of every community, this is not true mm-hmm. of every group, this is not true of every person, but I have seen this multiple times. Not with you.
Okay.
Partly because you have this personality that is just so calm and so laid back that you don't ever feel the need, from my perspective, to sort of do that chest thump thing, like, look at me, I'm fucking dumb. But we have been in munches. We're two male doms, and it's always the guys. It's always the guys, usually older. They'll start talking about something, and they don't see it the same way, and that's okay. But they both feel the need to have the last word.
Yes.
And it gets tense. I don't like confrontation. I think typically they're really nice guys on their own. I like them both. They're fine. But they get, it's a head-to-head, like, oh God, it's like two male animals out in the wild or something. I'm like, y'all, ain't nothing here. You're fighting over. It's fine. It's fine. Nobody has to exert dominance. And that everybody's exerting dominance. Nobody does that with you, thank goodness. Mm-mm. The couple times I've seen them try to do it, they're usually, it's weird because they're usually these massively tall guys. Yeah. Like big, beefy guys who like, and you're just so calm. You're just like, uh-huh, yeah, And you don't fuel it, so they don't keep going. But the guys we've seen in our own munch, mm-hmm. they can't help themselves. And it's just, if you ever find yourself in that situation and you realize you're doing it, please stop. Because nobody in that room is impressed with you. Maybe your submissive is, that much different. But the rest of us are like, yeah, you're a big D. We get it. We got it. So, I think, obviously we could not possibly go over everything in your head. That's a lot.
I don't think the world's ready for that.
Well, I am. I love it. It's fascinating. And obviously, this is just one person's experience. Right. So if you are a dominant and you are recognizing some of yourself in that, great. Or if you picked up some new ideas, even better for ways to do stuff. For the submissives who, if you're like me, you tend to be curious, like, what is the big D thinking? Yeah. Hopefully this helped a little bit. But quite frankly, y'all saw me just ask questions and say, hey, what you thinking? That's all you have to do. Sit your D down at a time that's good to talk and you've got time and they're in the right headspace and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And go, so what are you thinking during this? And if they're wondering why the hell you're doing this, show them this episode. It's fine. Go here. Here's why. Kayla told me to. But what a dominant is thinking doesn't have to be a mystery. Like, they need to be a dominant that is, you're close enough to that they're willing to open up, of course. Sure. And there are dominants on the internet who are happily sharing their thought processes and how they look at things. So, you know, go find them and follow them. Mm-hmm. But if you are in a DS relationship and you're like, I wonder what my dom's thinking. There is the simplest, cheapest, quickest fix.
Ask
them. just ask. You might have to wait, you might have to set a time, there's like all that stuff. Yeah. But just ask, because quite frankly, some of these questions I would not ask because I would probably have thought I would have known if I thought about it. And the way I look at it, but I didn't think about these questions, which is why they're really cool questions. Yeah. And I'm glad we sat down to do this, because I learned some things. But that's the thing I have found as our relationship has evolved, okay. is when I want to know something, I just ask. I get pouty when the answer is, I'm not going to tell you that, which is very rare. It is very rare. The times I'm told that he's not going to tell me is when he wants to keep me in a surprise, or he's still thinking about it and he hasn't processed his own thoughts on something. But beyond those two circumstances, he's an open book, which in my opinion, depending on how your DS relationship is structured and how close you are and all of that, I kind of think that most dominants probably should be an open book. You know, you don't have to give away like all your plans for how we're gonna, well, I don't know, but talking about how you think doesn't remove the mystery of the kinky fuckery you're about to experience. Mm-hmm. It doesn't remove the mood and the tone of things. It, in my experience, makes it easier to trust, makes it easier as a submissive in a kinky fuckery situation to relax, because I feel like I know the person I'm with even more than maybe I knew before, and I know how they think and I know how they feel about things, and I just know stuff. And for me, once I have that knowledge of that person, I can kind of go, whew, okay, I'm in good hands, we're fine. The idea that a submissive should just trust you because you're the D, fuck that shit. That's not how that works. And it is something that's a back and forth and you have to kind of cultivate. But I know a lot of dominants spend a lot of time getting their submissives to talk to them for good reason. I mean, I know some really good relationships where that has helped that submissive grow and maybe even start to deal with physical health and mental health and all kinds of issues, just because they had somebody who wanted to hear what was on their mind and wanted them to open up. But I think that dominants have to give that back just as much. Even if you are in a position where that's really difficult to do or you're unsure, you know, you said it earlier, it's an evolution. The way you think about things now is not the way you thought about them 10 years ago.
No.
And so therefore,
I'm not the same person I am now that I was 10 years ago.
Exactly. And if you're in a long-term relationship, that means the conversation you had 10 years ago, what you were told then and the basis of how you're making decisions based on that conversation, it's always good to have that conversation again and to go, sure. So what do you think about this now? And how's this playing out in your mind? We do this so often though. Partly because that's just, I'm nosy like that. And partly because I feel better prepared for whatever life is throwing at me with if I can have the most possible information. And for me, because of my own childhood and life and the way things are for me, I need to know as much as I can what other people are thinking and feeling. And I'm pretty empathetic and will, and a pretty good observer of people when it's expressions and tones of voice. Mm-hmm. That was a survival mechanism as a kid. So I will read into things that might not be there, or I will see things that even John Brownstone does not yet acknowledge himself. So I'm constantly asking. So I have gotten very, very comfortable with these kinds of questions. If you are not at that level of comfort, that's fine. Just start with, hey, what are you thinking about? And then fill in the blank with whatever you're curious about and go from there. I think is really what it's about. What I would say. Okay, so we do have a bonus section.
Yeah.
Before we go in the bonus section, I want to just say hi to people who showed up for the live stream. And there's lots of questions. We'll have to read those later, y'all. We won't do that this time. But CDC and Scarlet Cheeks, hello. Mm-hmm. And Raxley Ann and Kalina, hello. China Doll. Buttercup Faith. I don't know why I like your name so much, but I think it's the buttercup part. Jay, hello. Let's see. Ileana and Heather. And Little Max, hello. Mrs. Bubble. Mm-hmm. Is that Bubbles? Yes, Bubbles.
Yep.
I almost didn't see the S there. If I miss anybody, it is not personal Teresa.
Nope.
And let's see, I'm going fast, y'all, so if I do not see you, I promise. If we don't say hello, there's Nezzy, hello. And Goth Dolly, hello. And I think we might have gotten it all. Okay.
Yep.
If we missed you, hello to you too. Thank you for being here. Okay, so we do have a pretty big bonus section because shit's been happening.
Okay,
so we're going to go into that. And you're going to remember how we do this, even though last week, totally forgot.
That was then, this is now.
Okay.
Behave yourself, girl.
Damn, okay.
Are we good?
As good as we're ever going to get.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. And thank you, Daddy.
I'm going to talk to the crickets.
I want to talk to the crickets.
You always want to talk
to crickets. I know, I love talking to the crickets.
All right.
How I have a week. Okay, so first I want to do our Patreon shout out.
Okay.
To our patrons at that level. And we have a new person, and I'm going to butcher your name, and I'm so sorry.
I'm going to sit back.
Is it Lorana? I don't know. Educate me. Y'all know I'm shit for names. Kalina and Jay, who is conduit of queerness itself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel compelled to say that. And. I'm going to have to take a picture for social media on this, but we did get a postcard.
Yes.
From Suffolk. Suffolk? Y'all UK people, tell me I'm saying it wrong. I'm going to get the name of the town wrong, so I'm not going to even bother. but these are from, this is postcards from Cat Kinks and I can't say your real name because I know your real name because we're friends in real life. Lemaitre? I can't speak French. God, here's the thing.
You do this every time.
I know, because here's the thing. Before I get into their lovely postcard, and we just saw them at Eroticon and that was wonderful. I have a lot of anxieties. We've already talked about this. And one of them is being wrong where people can see me being wrong and nothing like just jumps on top of that fear, like having to say names. And I don't care what kind of name it is. If it's nothing I've encountered before, I'm like, well. And here's what's funny. My legal name is a name most people, at least from the time I was in school, at least, like elementary school, could not say. Like a lot more people can say it these days, which is really nice. But for the first 30 years of my life, nobody could say it. So I'm really sensitive to fucking up people's names. And yet, it makes me anxious. Okay, no, I'm not anxious like that.
But I'm anxious.
Okay, so I want to get to this postcard while I've now had a little meltdown. I'm going to try and say it, even though I know y'all are going to laugh. And that's the other thing I don't like to be laughed at. Even though I make myself the butt of jokes. Oh, I'm doing this wrong. Levenham? Levenham? My UK friends, tell me how to say this. It's Lavenham. They are at the Hedgehog Cottage. That's the postcard. They themselves are not. They live in other areas. They came there for a short holiday away before Kat was visiting her partner in another country. They're separated by continents before she went home. It is a quaint and little village with crooked houses and loads of history. Oh, that sounds amazing. So I hope you are both over the jet lag and enjoying being home. And I hope the same thing of you, Kat. So thank you for that. Where do we want to start for the bonus section?
Wow, yeah.
Let's start with the fun stuff. I tweeted it and it got a lot of attention, but we'll say it here.
Okay.
Not everybody's on Twitter. We are officially a company.
Yeah.
We have our LLC, S Corp, something, something, letters, words. That's why I'm
numbers,
paying.
Numbers, yeah.
That's why I'm paying somebody to do that part for me. Yes. But it's all official.
It's been a long time coming.
A long time. We should have done it.
Something that we had actually started moving towards last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I'm not going to go into it, but it did not come to fruition last year when it was intended to.
Which I will say, it should have happened. We had a plan. The plan fell through. Had the plan not fallen through, I would have saved thousands in taxes.
Yes.
Thousands.
But it happened now. It happened very swiftly, as it should have.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not only a married couple, we are not only a DS couple, we are now officially on paper business partners.
Business partners. So yes. You're stuck with me. I'm not dissolving this business.
You're stuck with me too. So.
Yeah. And so the cool thing is, so somebody was asking me on Twitter when I was talking about this, because I was like, my seeing the email come through from the tax person who took care of all the paperwork for us, I was like, holy fuck, we're a business. They were like, oh, so what are you doing? And essentially the business is just what houses everything else we've been doing.
Right.
But now we get some of the perks of being a business. Like the kinky person who's doing our taxes, I think having a kinky tax accountant is like the best thing
ever. Marvelous.
We have a kinky realtor, kinky tax accountant. I need more kinky people in my life. Kinky therapist.
Kinky therapist.
I need more kinky people in life. But
now we can find a kinky house cleaner. We'd be perfect.
So nice. Anyway, so she did our taxes for last year, told us the awful number of what we owe, and then said, psh, I can save you so much money. Let's do this. And I went, here, take my money, make this happen. And it's a huge relief because we've wanted to do it.
Right.
It does, to me, feel like we are more officially, I don't say this out loud very often, but I have said it before, moving closer to building the kinky empire for ourselves. Yeah. Even though we're doing all the same things we've been doing.
I mean, a lot of people, understand. Kayla has her writing that she does.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own thing that I do with my woodworking and wood turning. And then we have the stuff we do together.
Right.
And
Which I wish we could do more of. Oh, my God.
All those little pieces kind of live in their own world.
And their own bank accounts.
I manage one thing, she manages this, and then we kind of work together on this. And now what brings us all together and makes it so much easier to manage is that now it ties everything all together for us.
Yes. So we get some benefits of doing that and we get some efficiency. And to me, I feel like we are moving in the direction, more in the direction we want to go. We're still always going to do a lot of things because that's just, I think,
how we are.
I think how we're both kind of wired. But it just makes what we've been trying to build feel more official.
Yes.
And so that's why it's like big news to me and to Joe Brownstone. Okay, so what else has been happening here? We're packing
things. Oh,
we're packing
my God.
So many things. We don't even have a big house. I don't know.
I know.
We've gotten all this
but,
crap.
Well, we have accumulated 4 years worth of life here together.
I know. And what I love, okay, so don't think I'm a very sentimental person in general. I can throw away that little drawing from my small child from 5 years ago without even blinking. In fact, I did. And yet, I'm sort of surprised, even at you, because this is a place where we're polar opposites. You are very sentimental, and you have got some things that you have kept for literally 50 years, y'all. 50 years, still in our closet in a box. But I have been amazed to watch you go, oh, I'm not moving that. It can go. No, that can go. And you're just like tossing shit. I'm like, oh, yes.
Lesson learned.
Yes, keep throwing stuff away. Yeah. I could never be a total minimalist, but I also just don't like having a lot of stuff around me. I want stuff that I like, of course. Mm-hmm. I want stuff that's useful.
Right.
But I just prefer when it's efficient and it's tidy and there's just not too much of it. I get very annoyed. Mm-hmm. Like some people get really excited when they go rummaging through a box and they go, oh, I forgot I had this. I actually get very annoyed at that because I'm like, holy shit, I've had this and I'm not using it. Or I could have used it, but I forgot I had it. Like it's too much stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a minimalist. Not in the way I at least see it on YouTube.
Right.
Like I'm not that, but.
You're not an extreme minimalist.
No. I want, you know, decorations. You know what? But I also look at even how decorations for your house, like the inside of your house, I look at those and dust factor. Is it going to collect dust? Am I going to have to clean? Do I want it that bad? It better be pretty damn special for me to keep it. And right now we're going through. So we're in phases. Okay. Uh-huh. So right now, the very first phase was get stuff fixed up around the house.
Right.
We have, other than a little bit of touch-up paint, We've done that. Painted bathrooms, fixed up some bathrooms.
Toilets are fixed.
Finished the kitchen, put in new smoke detectors.
Yeah.
Like some stuff around the house. Now we have some outside stuff we got to do.
Yeah.
Which that's a weekend project. That's no big deal. So now we're into the next phase where we are packing up basically the clutter that we actually want to keep. But
you call it knickknacks.
Knickknacks. The wall hangings. The
pictures.
Because we want to get those out of the condo before we sell, before the listing pictures are taken, so that it looks bigger
roomy
than
and
it
open.
Is. Right. And it doesn't look cluttered.
It's a 972 square foot condo, so we want to make it look as big as possible.
Right. So we're getting a storage unit to put all that, and your stuff from the shop.
The shop.
To put that to the side. Mm-hmm. So that we free up space in here, make it easier to clean, make it easier to list and show for somebody to buy, yada, yada. So that's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. We've booked the U-Haul that's going to drive it to Ocala to put in storage.
Right. The day of this recording, a week from tomorrow, when this podcast goes live.
It'll be a week from tomorrow.
It will be a week from tomorrow.
Right.
That we'll be making
we'll be
the trip.
Talking about it more next Thursday for the live stream / podcast, because that'll be the day before we go to wherever our storage unit's going to be in Ocala.
Yes.
We don't know yet. We don't have that part yet. And then when we get back from doing that and we empty this place out, and it's not empty. We sell all our furniture and all our clothes, all our day-to-day stuff, but just the extraneous stuff.
Yeah, we're not emptying the kitchen. We still need to do things like eat.
Well, I want to eat out every day and just spend all that money. No, I don't think
Good
so.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, no. then we'll come back. We'll do our outdoor projects. Then we'll get the house cleaned. We'll get it listed. And then we get to live through the hell that is selling a house.
Yeah.
Where you have to keep it perfectly clean all the time. And if somebody wants to come look at it, we're going to make it so they have to schedule a showing. You don't get to just show up at 10 o'clock on a Saturday or something. But without telling me anyway. But then we have to be prepared to pick up and leave when it's time to go. With the dog.
Yeah.
Take the dog too. So there's a lot going on, but I think we're doing okay.
Yeah.
I think we're doing okay.
We are. We've made some good headway with stuff, getting stuff packed up and off the walls. I have spent the last two mornings packing up my shop.
So we have talked about this before, but let's say it again. So the online shop, thewooddom.com, shop.kaylalords.com. Mm-hmm. Those sites will still be open. And like, they'll just be open. So
plenty of inventory.
If you were like, I was going to buy a paddle, I was going to buy a pen, whatever is on the site is there to buy.
Right.
And we love it when people buy stuff from us, so feel free. Anyway, but the special orders are closed.
Special orders are closed.
Right.
As tools are being dismantled and packed and ready to move in storage
and temporarily. One tool has to be fixed. The main tool, the tool that does it all, has to be fixed.
Yes. Monday, my last actual day of work. Making some cane handles.
Yes, got some canes to put together.
And I go to flip the lathe in reverse to
which
reverse
is a thing it does.
Right, to reverse sand. And it wouldn't turn on.
Brand new.
Yep.
Very expensive.
Year old. Thankfully, I had the foresight that one of the choices I made in buying this particular tool was that it comes with a 5-year warranty.
Thank God.
And they will be here Monday. They are coming to me.
Yeah.
I don't have to take the tool to them.
Right. So they're going to fix it, and then we'll pack it up.
Then we'll pack that up to go.
So yeah, it's been a wild week. A lot has happened.
Yeah, there's stacks of boxes in the garage
in every room.
And all the cupboards and shelves that I use, they're emptying out.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding, and I thought I saw you say something like this online, but I was a little busy. Are you finding that you had you had stuff you didn't really need, so you could get rid of it?
As I was digging, well, a combination of both. As I was digging through, I was finding some stuff like tucked in the back of drawers and cabinets. Is like, why do I still have this?
Mm-hmm. I think it's typical of all of us. If you have a place to put your stuff, then eventually you ask yourself that question.
And then when it came to things like pen blanks, I thought I had that all boxed up and good to go. And I just kept finding more.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Is Saki going to come up here with us during the bonus section? You want to come up, baby? Maybe not. You don't want to make your on-camera debut? Okay. We tried, y'all. Yep.
And
he's our chill old man. You do want to because you want me to pat you.
Yep.
No.
Come on.
Let me help him. He's an old man. There we go. Say hello. Oh, podcast listeners, I'm sorry. You cannot see our cute dog.
Nope.
He's going to be quiet. As long as the doorbell doesn't ring, he won't do much. Except be loved. But when you're almost 15, you kind of get to do what you want and go where you will. I know we love you, too.
So, but, there's still a couple more things left to do in the house.
Mm-hmm.
These are things
got a
like...
a dishwasher to install.
Yes, we
bought a clearance one.
We bought a dishwasher on clearance.
Unboxed. Cheap.
Still under warranty, but it's proving challenging to find someone to put it in.
I know. And the only reason we're not doing it is because John Brownstone threw out his back just doing less extensive stuff than the dishwasher.
Yeah.
So we're trying to be very careful so that he's healthy for the move itself.
Right.
Even though we're totally going to hire strong, strapping people who are way younger than us to move
the big stuff,
But, so yeah, we have to get that. And then I bitched about this, I think last week, the pocket door. We still have to get that.
Yes. Yeah.
Hate pocket doors. So, yeah, but there's just, we talked about it. We've been talking about it for so many. Y'all are going to be so glad when we finally move, because we'll be like, they can stop talking about their damn move.
Right?
I know.
And
then we'll have to go, well, what are we going to talk about now? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But this week there was just a lot. And then, so, a little insight into me. Yes, you mentioned it earlier. For the past week and a half, I'll work for the day, like the stereotypical working day until dinner time, essentially. And then I was done and I was like, but I started getting paranoid that, what if work starts drying up? It is not drying up.
No.
I was fine with just what I was doing. And so I had a couple offers come through and I went, hey, I'm available, blah, blah, blah. And we're working on that. And I got a couple things. And then I had one of my long-term writing clients go, hey, I've got these massive projects for you. One, can you do them? And two, can you do them faster than you've ever done them for me before? And because I like money, I'm not even going to pretend otherwise. I like money. And I really like seeing it go up in my bank account. Thank you very much. I was like, yeah, sure. And then I turned to John Brownstone and went, ha, ha, probably going to be working late for the next couple weeks. I was trying so hard not to.
I know.
And actually, this week we got really thrown off by just, I don't even know what. And so I think it's not going to be as bad as I think it is.
No.
I think it'll be fine. So it's just a lot, as always, yeah. As it is for everybody's life. There's just always something going on. But right now, knock on wood, things are good. And they're moving in the direction we want them to move in.
True.
For video watchers, you will have noticed there is no vlog from London yet.
Yet.
You're right. There's not. part of it I realized, and I kind of knew as I was going through it, it was a little, what happened after we got back from London, where we've already talked about that last week, was kind of traumatic in a way that I did not think it would be. So yeah. It was actually really hard to even look at those videos.
It kind of knocked us off our feet emotionally in a big way.
Yeah. And so it was really hard to even think about, look at all these happy videos when we were still innocent, right? we were never innocent, but you know what I mean.
Oblivious.
Oblivious. Good word. And so now I was ready, like mentally ready to start looking at them the other day when I had all this time that I no longer have. And then I couldn't get them off my phone easily. So,
and I still have video on my phone.
I need your video too. So it's not forgotten. The London vlog will happen.
Yes.
Just now I'm actually ready to do it. So we will do that too. Mm-hmm. I think that is more than enough an hour and a half later. It is time to be done.
I think so.
Especially since we have another video to go record.
Yes.
We'll see you in that video too, whenever
all
that is.
Right.
Okay. We love you guys.
We love you. Thank you.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for paying attention. Thank you for all of it.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for loving us. We love you too. We are so happy whether you're listening to us through audio, watching us on video, wherever you interact with us. We are so happy you're part of our community. My dog just did an old man cough. sorry, y'all. And we are just so happy to be able to share all of this with you and that you're here with us.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's it.
Bye.